You're listening to Gerald Fleury and the Key of David on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm.
Greetings, everyone. God prophesies of his last warning to Israel in the book of Amos, and he aims it specifically at two nations, the two birthright nations, and that's all explained in our book on the United States and Britain and prophecy. God says, though, that in this context, that there's one last warning that he's going to give, and it's going to be in the time frame of a modern-day Jeroboam. It's going to be in that time. And, of course, after following that, then you have the Great Tribulation, you have the coming of the Messiah, and the greatest hope that this world has ever heard. But who is Jeroboam? Who is this man that the Bible talks about in this time frame of the last passing of God to warn Israel of their problems and difficulties and how they can solve them? So it's pretty mind-sobering when you think about it that if you look at these end-time prophecies, God talks about individuals. He names names just repeatedly. And we need to understand those names and the role those men play if we're going to understand these end time prophecies. It's essential that we understand these individuals. So this last time frame is just filled with Jeroboam. You could say it's a Jeroboam time frame or a Jeroboam end. So what does God want us to understand about Jeroboam? And what do you need to understand now to really comprehend these end time Bible prophecies? Let's look at that Jeroboam prophecy over in Amos 7. Amos 7 in verse 8, we'll begin there. This is really one of the strongest prophecies in all the Bible, but it ends with a hope that is phenomenal. Verse 8 of Amos 7 says this, "And the Eternal said unto Amos, what do you see? And I said, well, a plumb line. Then said the Eternal, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not pass by them anymore." Now, this is God's statement. He's not going to warn them anymore. He's warned them several times so that they'll wake up and not be afflicted so painfully by their own sins and their own problems. But here's what I wrote in the Amos booklet, and this is in the context of the end time Jeroboam. When he says, I will not again pass by them anymore, God is talking about passing by them in the time of Jeroboam. He gets very specific. So we certainly need to understand Jeroboam. God says here that he is against the house of Jeroboam. The Moffat translation says that he's going to attack Jeroboam's house. That's in verse 9. So there's something very upsetting to God about the house of Jeroboam. That's why he wants us to understand it and why he wants us to understand what that big problem is. And it is a problem that is most offensive to God. You can see that in this Jeroboam end, it revolves around him, and that's why it's so essential that we understand who he is. But who is this man? And we're going to give you all kinds of information at the end of this program to explain that to you and prove it to you, who the man is. Because that's going to make Bible prophecy come alive to you in a way that perhaps nothing else could. God is revealing significant individuals in Bible prophecy, in this end time especially, I think like he's never done before. He is naming names, and he wants us to understand this because all of it's leading directly into the Great Tribulation and then the coming of the Messiah. This is great news, but it's certainly the lead-in is not so great for a while. We have to get beyond that unless we learn our lesson now. Notice verse 10. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. So here this priest is telling Jeroboam that Amos is conspiring against him, or he's being treasonous toward Jeroboam. Now, of course, Amos disagrees with that, but that's what this man said. But in all of this, this process, as we're told in many prophecies, God getting to know Israel and Israel getting to know God. Well, God knows Israel very well and has all along, but they don't know him. They don't know him, and that's what the real key is. So here is this priest that is talking to Jeroboam, which tells you that Jeroboam has a religious following. In this end time Jeroboam has a religious following. And he's leading them in a way they should not be led. That's the problem. Notice verse 11, and I just want to use an expression here, because the priest of Bethel, or of God's house, that's what that means. This priest is of God's house. He's turned away from God, though. But he says of Amos, for Amos says this, and Amos says that. And Amos says this over here, and he's telling Jeroboam all about that, and yet when Amos comes along and gives his version of it, he says, thus says the Eternal. It's not from Amos. Thus says the Lord God. That's what Amos says, saying, listen, you'd better stop misreading this, because it is not from Amos. This is a thus saith the Lord. Now that ought to sober anybody if you really understand that this is the very message of God. It's His expression. It's His word. It's coming from His mouth, not some man. Now that's a critical understanding that we need here. Notice verses 12 and 13. Also, Amaziah said unto Amos, O you seer, go, flee you away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there, but prophesy not again anymore at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel. In other words, this is our religious domain. You don't belong here. We have no part with you. Now, that's why, you see, they're following Jeroboam and not God and the message of God, which flies in the face of what Jeroboam's sin is. But anyhow, we can go on to prove that to you. If you look at 1 Kings 12, and I want to just read a few verses there, you can see that this modern-day Jeroboam is doing the same or committing the same sin that the ancient Jeroboam did. There was more than one, but they all had the same spirit and did the same evil deeds. But the ancient Jeroboam turned Israel away from the message of God and the throne of David. Turned him away from the throne of David. Now that sin is being committed in this end time as well. Why does God use Jeroboam as the last warning to the nations of Israel. Why? What does he do that? Well, we have this special reprint article we've planned and created just for this very program that will explain all of this to you about who is Jeroboam and what do you need to know about him. And God does reveal a lot about him in this modern day end time Jeroboam. And I'm telling you, the original Jeroboam committed a great sin, and the modern day Jeroboam is committing the very identical sin again. And it's been going on for a long, long time, hundreds and even thousands of years. I want to quote from 1 Kings, and that is 1 Kings is a part of the former prophets. And that's prophecy mainly for this end time. That's why it's called the former prophets. And we have a book on that we'll send you. And all of our literature is free. But you need to understand these former prophets and why they prophesy for us in this end time. So here I want to show you what Jeroboam's great sin was anciently. And then you can understand the sin the modern day Jeroboam is committing. Verse 25 of 1 Kings 12, then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein, and went out from thence and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. Here was his great fear. Well, now I can't allow these people to turn back to the house of David. They had just broken away. So he had a plan to keep them separated from the house of David. And God even explained the importance of that house to Jeroboam, but he didn't pay attention. So Jeroboam wanted to keep the 10 tribes of Israel away from the house of David. And that promise made to David, that eternal promise made to David by God, Jeroboam didn't want anything to do with that. Notice verse 27, if this people go up to sacrifice in the house of the Eternal at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of the Judah, Solomon's son, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Verse 28, whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold your gods, O Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt. The gods that they turned to when they turned away from the true God. Same old history, and that's where Jeroboam was taking them. Verse 31 talks about the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. They were chosen to be the ministers. So it's all a rigged system, according to Jeroboam. He just was doing it so he could lead those people and keep them away from the house of David. And that was his great sin. Verse 32, and Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month on the 15th day. And you can go on and see that he changed the day of the Sabbath. He changed the day of the holy days. He got them all different than what they were in the house of David and in Jerusalem. And now that same sin is being committed today. And it's not that difficult to understand. It's not that difficult to prove. It's not that complicated. Something is wrong with most religions today, and certainly many of those who follow the Bible especially, as far as the understanding of God is concerned. So how can we make sure we don't commit this sin. Well, notice verse 33, so he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart. So here he had this holy day plan, this his own master plan. And he wanted them to just do what he told them to do, and they just went along with it and made the two calves and did it just like they did in ancient history and turned away from God and got the nation into the worst kind of disasters you could even imagine. Now, today, a modern-day Jeroboam is causing other religions to make serious mistakes, and other Christians, and it's just really simple to see that it's going the same way it did anciently, only on a higher level in many ways. Notice verse 7 of Revelation chapter 3. And to the angel of the church in the Philadelphia write, these things says he that is holy and he that is true and he that has the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts and shuts and no man opens. I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door and no man can shut it, for you have a little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name. But you did you notice that like Jeroboam anciently, you see, Jesus Christ gave the church of God in the last two eras the key of David, the most important message in the Bible. This is the only message that Christ gave to his church. That's what it's talking about here. And he gave his church the key of David, or the key that explains the house of David. In other words, the religion that Jeroboam rejected, that's what God is giving them here in this end time, the last two eras of his church. He has given them the key of David. Now, do religions today, you hear all of them, many of them talking about the key of David? Well, that seems strange to them. And yet it's the ultimate message that Christ gave to his church in this end time. It's the only message, and they are rejecting it. It's being rejected, and it doesn't. Most people don't understand it. The name of our program is The Key of David. We have a book on The Key of David. We have all kinds of material on the promises made to David. Well, what is that all about? It's about a lot more than David, you can be sure. But this is the only message God says that he would give to his churches in this end time. And he says, if they have this message, I'll open up a door for them and they will be able to deliver my key of David message. The one that Jeroboam rejected and still rejects in this world. Isn't that amazing? The greatest vision in the Bible, and they just push it aside and get themselves into the kind of catastrophes we face today. I mean, serious, serious problem. How many believers of the Bible do you know that really talk about the key of David and understand the key of David or the house of David? What is that all about? It's about a lot more than a man, that's for sure. But most reject it just like Jeroboam did. Now look, we have to get this message. This is this key of David. This is the very heart and core of what God and his message is all about today and throughout history, but the Jeroboams keep right on rejecting it. They want to just devise things in their own minds and live that way, and of course it leads to one catastrophe after another, after another, after another. You don't hear Christians around the world or other Bible-believing people, you don't hear them talking about the Key of David, usually very much at all, if any. That's because they're listening too much to Jeroboam in that spirit. Notice verse 9, "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not and do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you." So God is going to make anybody who's going to be in the kingdom of God worship this way. There is no way around it. Every person has to obey God in that way. Verse 10, "Because you have kept the word of my patience, and all, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world." See, God is just promises that to the people who will keep this Key of David and promote it and teach it and have a work that delivers that message. There's a trial coming upon all the world. Do you notice how nuclear weapons are being proliferated all around the world? God says you're going to have protection, and I will protect you if you do my work and you deliver my message about the Key of David. I will take care of you and protect you. Now that's a wonderful promise just physically, not to even mention the spiritual. You just can't miss if you stay close to God. It's always just blessing on top of blessing. Let me just read to you that promise made to David. 2 Samuel 7 and verse 8, also this is another part of the former prophets, and it's prophecy for today. For today in particular, because of all that is happening. Notice verse 8 of 2 Samuel 7, "I took you from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel," talking to David. So here's the promise that God made to this mortal man. Quote, this is verses 12 and 13, "And when your days be fulfilled and you shall sleep with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, which shall proceed out of your bowels, and I will establish his kingdom, and he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." An eternal promise. An eternal promise. Well, this must be pertaining to a lot more than just men. I should say it does. Notice verse 16, "And your house, the house of David," see, here it is. Here's what Jeroboam rejected. "And your house, the house of David, and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever." But you see, what it's really saying is, this is actually the throne of God. It's God's throne. And he's going to rule from that throne for all eternity. And he's inviting those first fruits to share that throne with them if they'll be loyal to him and teach the Key of David message, the House of David message. Then he's going to give them the reward of being his bride for all eternity, an unparalleled offering to any human being. What a reward that God gives the people who are loyal to him. You can see, I'll just quickly go through Isaiah 22 and verse 20 where it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day," that always means today, the end time, that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. So it's an end time message, verse 21, "And I will clothe him with your robe and strengthen him with your girdle, and I will commit your government into his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. And the key of the house of David," verse 22, "and the key of the house of David." Now what, again, that's for this end time, and it's about not only about the Key of David, but now about the key of the house of David. That house of David that Jeroboam rejected. God says, we have to have that message today, and yet most people have rejected it today. and followed Jeroboam as they are at this time especially. And I lay upon him his shoulders, so he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. Now this is a wonderful, most inspiring message, and it's all explained really in our book on the United States and Britain in Prophecy. And as I said, all of our literature is free, but you see, God keeps hammering this point home that the house of David, or the key of David and the key of the house of David, so we understand all of this and understand what it's all about. It's about the throne of God that's going to rule this world for and the universe for all eternity, and he's inviting you individually to be a part of this if you want to and have this eternal reward. Until next week, this is Gerald Fleury. Goodbye, friends.
The ancient Jeroboam established a counterfeit religion for political gain. He caused the people of Israel to reject the rulership that God himself had given to King David. As a result, the nation plunged into disaster. Request Gerald Fleury's free book, The Former Prophets, How to Become a King, to discover how to avoid the same fate. Study the example of the ancient Jeroboam to identify the modern-day Jeroboam. Learn how the descendants of Israel are still rebelling against the house of David to this day. Understand how God feels when his people reject the glorious key of David's vision. Request Gerald Fleury's free book, The Key of David, to grasp how this key unlocks the greatest vision in the Bible. King Jeroboam strengthened his grip on the nation of Israel by introducing idol worship. He also changed the times of God's holy days and Sabbaths. To learn about the observances that God established, request our free booklet, Pagan Holidays or God's Holy Days, which, by Herbert W. Armstrong. Who is Jeroboam? What do you need to know about him? Why does God reveal so much about this ancient ruler? Request our free reprint article, Who is the Modern-Day Jeroboam? To understand the dreadful sin that Jeroboam committed and what the modern-day Jeroboam is in danger of committing. All of our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request The Former Prophets, How to Become a King, The Key of David, Pagan Holidays, or God's Holy Days, which, and Who is the Modern-Day Jeroboam? Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629.